Listen, some people have been messing with the pastor's stand, not knowing that when you get old, your eyes need it to be a certain depth away. You know what I'm saying? Hey, guys, listen, I'm so excited to continue this series with you this morning. Gospel BC is designed to help you understand the Old Testament. And we are highlighting the major stories and the major people from the Old Testament and showing you how they point to God's plan of redemption in His Son Jesus, okay? So that's the whole point of the series. This morning, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 11. That's how far we've made it. I promise we're about to pick up pace, okay? But we're in Genesis 11 this morning, and so if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to turn there. Also, guys, if you got a bulletin when you came in, we're going to ask you to take notes, okay? The point of come to church is to learn. And that's part of worship. And so because we're here to learn, we want to take notes, we want to study. And then you can go home and talk about them. You can talk about them with your spouse. You can talk about them with your children. You can talk about them in a small group if you're in one of those. And if you're not and you want to be, reach out to Kevin. He's the next step guy. He'll show you how to get in one of those. But we are going to ask you to take notes. We've got a couple versions of that. There's the hard copy, or you can scan the digital notes up on the screen. And I'm going to pray as we kind of get situated and prepare to jump into Genesis chapter 11. Father, again, thank you for meeting with us. Thanks for being present. Holy Spirit, man, every week, just want to step back intentionally and ask you to come and fill the pulpit. You are our personal teacher and guide, and so I pray that in each of us that you would open our minds and our hearts to the truth of the gospel, that you would show us Jesus clearly. Holy Spirit, I also believe that you are our corporate teacher, and so have your way with me, have your way in this place, that we might leave here understanding how the entire Word of God points to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. All right, so guys, we've done 3 weeks of this. And in 3 weeks, you may think we haven't gotten very far, but we've covered a lot of ground. We've learned that God made everything, that He made us in His image, that He made us to be with Him forever. And we've already learned that sin kind of ruined all of that, right? Sin ruined all of that because Adam and Eve sinned. They were cast out of the garden. They were cast out of the presence of God. If you can't be where God is, you can't have access to His eternal life. They're now going to die. That sin gets passed on to all of humanity. Thanks, guys. And sin is never content to stay contained, right? It always spreads. That's what it does. And so we've kind of warned you, don't toy around with sin. It's never content to stay contained. And so it's a deal. Guys, it's a real deal. In fact, last week we studied the flood, and there was some eye-opening stuff for us. And one of those things I hope was eye-opening is, guys, that long before God flooded the earth, we learned that sin had already destroyed it, right? Sometimes we think, well, God destroyed the earth. No. Sin destroyed it. That word in Hebrew, corrupted, when it says sin had completely corrupted everything, it means that sin had completely destroyed it long before God flooded it. That's where we kind of left off, right? And we met a guy named Noah. Noah is a good guy. He wasn't completely blameless. He was blameless compared to those surrounding him. It actually meant that he was a man of integrity. And God says with Noah, hey, we're gonna start all over with you. And so Noah builds this ark for 120 years. He's a preacher of righteousness, according to Peter. And he's preaching repentance, repentance, repentance. Nobody does. And the flood comes and wipes them away. And we saw God's just nature, that because God is holy and He's always right, He cannot ignore sin forever. But we also saw His graciousness and that He provided 120 years for repentance. And we talked about how that connects with us. So guys, that is where we left off. This morning, we're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 11. But before we do, I want to remind you, when we studied the Old Testament, you guys love, everybody wants those nuggets of wisdom. Man, I want to learn some cool facts and stuff, right? But we've got a statement here because that's not actually the point of the Bible. So we're going to say this out loud. You're going to repeat after me. So just do that right now. The goal of Bible study is not information. It is transformation. It's transformation. And that's what we're praying for this morning. And so if you've got your Bibles, I'm in Genesis chapter 11, just reading 9 verses together this morning. Thank you, Lord. Man, some weeks I feel like we're reading chapters upon chapters. But here we go. The Word of God says this. It says, the whole earth had the same language and vocabulary. As people migrated from the east, they found a valley and the land of Shinar, and they settled there, and they said to each other, come, let's make oven-fired bricks. And they used brick for stone and asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered throughout the earth. And then the Lord came down to look over the city and the tower that the humans were building. And the Lord said, if they have begun to do this as one people, all having the same language, nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So from there, the Lord scattered them throughout the earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, it is called Babylon, or Babel. The word in Hebrew means confusion. For there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them throughout the earth. So we're talking about the Tower of Babel this morning. Some people might call this the beginning of nations. Whichever way you want to refer to it, that's what we're going to cover this morning. So, man, some cool things in those nine verses, okay? I just want to say that to you. I like the fact that the Bible says that at one point we all spoke the same language. Do you know that a bunch of people that study language, they're called linguists, there's a bunch of secular scholars that are linguists, and they actually say they believe that to be true. That at one point in humanity, everyone spoke the same language. They call it the proto-language or proto-world. And so non-Christian people believe at one time all humans spoke the same language. In addition to that, those same secular, non-Christian scholars, those linguists, believe at some point that rapidly changed. That language rapidly progressed, but they have no explanation for how it happened. They just know at some point there was some event, unbeknownst to them, that happened, that occurred, and suddenly language very quickly began to be diversified. So they've seen it, they've noted it in language patterns, they don't understand what caused it. Hello! And then you get to cool things like, if you were to read chapter 10, the Table of Nations, we know that Noah had three sons. And so those sons actually populate what we know as the world today into people groups, right? It's a pretty cool thing. So like Shem's descendants become the Semitic people, the Hebrews, the Arabs, the Assyrians, the Armenians. Ham's people become Africans, Canaans, Mesopotamians, Egyptians, Babylonians. Japheth's people become European, Central Asian, Indo-European. Like, it's pretty cool. And then we read this verse, verse 25, which if you're kind of a Bible nerd, here you go. Genesis 25, Eber had two sons. One was named Peleg. For during his day, the earth was divided. That's what Peleg means, divided. His brother was named Joktan. And that phrase, now some, not all, some believe that phrase actually refers to not the Tower of Babel, but they think it actually refers to the continental drift or plate tectonic theory. Ooh. However, we don't know. And are we supposed to know? No. Because that's not the point, right? We don't study the Bible for information. That's not why God provided it. The Bible is God's story of redemption. We don't study the Bible for information. We study the Bible for transformation, right? Right? We don't study it for information. We study it for... There we go. So with that in mind, two things, just two main points, and I want to talk to you about how they point to Jesus. Guys, here's the first thing we learn as we study the Tower of Babel, is that no amount of human effort or wisdom can reach heaven. No amount of human effort or wisdom can reach heaven. Guys, the people, like God says, hey, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and they kind of go a different route. And so there's two huge sins that these people commit. The first is that they want to glorify themselves, not God. Right? That's a problem, by the way. They want to glorify themselves, not God. So guys, next week, guess what? We're going to start and we're going to study Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob and then Joseph. And that's going to lead us to Moses. On Palm Sunday, we're going to talk about Passover. On Easter Sunday, the parting of the seas and how that relates to what Christ does for us. Right? And then the week after that is the Ten Commandments. Anybody remember the first of the Ten Commandments? You shall have no other gods before me, including yourselves, by the way. And so the first grave sin of the people is that God has told them to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth. They're to make God known amongst everyone. That's the goal. And instead they go, no, we're going to make a name for us. Right? They're going to take matters into their own hands. And one of the ways that they're going to do that is they're going to build a city for themselves. And in that city, they're going to build a tower. And the point of that tower is that it would stretch all the way up, and I know our translation says to the skies, but literally that it would stretch all the way up into heaven. It's in verse 4. I think that's on the screen for you. And they said, come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the skies, and let's make a name for ourselves. First great sin. Otherwise, we'll be scattered throughout the earth. Second great sin is they're trying to earn their way, to produce their way, to make their way into the presence of God. That word sky literally in Hebrew is translated heaven. Heaven. Or heavens. This is another act of direct disobedience, right? God told them in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, it says, God blessed Noah, blessed his sons, and he said to him, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, a.k.a. spread out. You guys go spread out. And their response is, nah, we'll just stay here. We're just going to stay here. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to make our name for ourselves. And we're going to build a city. And in that city, we're going to have a tower that reaches heaven. Y'all, huge act of disobedience. They're saying, God, we're not going to do it your way. But instead, we're going to become like you. Does that sound familiar? Isn't that where it started with Adam and Eve? Man, we'll eat this fruit and then we'll be like God. They're like, man, we're just going to build a tower and then we'll be like God. Then we'll be like God. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. They thought by their own strength, through their own knowledge, through their own effort, that they could make a way into heaven. And guys, the Bible clearly states that's not the case. In a moment, we'll look at this verse again, but I want it to be in your minds kind of marinating in the background throughout the rest of the sermon. It's Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It says this, we're saved by grace through faith. It's not from ourselves. That means there's nothing that we can do to build ourselves up in the sight of God. It is God's gift. It's not through works. It's not through effort. It's not through knowledge. And that's the case so that none of us can boast, right? So that none of us can boast, so that God will get the glory, not us. God will get the glory, not us. God said, hey, spread out. They're like, nope, we're going to stay here. We want to make a name for us. It's grave sin, grave sin. So guys, that's where we start. No amount of human effort or wisdom can reach heaven. The second thing I want you to understand this morning is that sin leads to division and confusion. Man, sin leads to division and confusion. That's the name. It's the Tower of Babel. The word Babel means confusion. That's what sin does. It leads to division. It leads to confusion. So one of our big lessons last week, like I said, is the fact that God is just. So God is holy. He is righteous. So he's perfect. Everything he does is right. And because of that, he is just. He deals with people in a just, in a right manner, in a way that's appropriate. Because he's always appropriate, he always deals with things the right way, he cannot just overlook sin. So again, his command to the people is to do what? Spread out and multiply. That's the command. What do the people say? No thanks. We're going to build right here, make a name for ourselves. And man, look, we're going to be like you. We're just going to get to heaven ourselves. And so God intervenes. There has to be, because God is just, there has to be a consequence for the rebellion. Amen? Okay? Has to be a consequence. So what does God do? God confuses their language. He causes them to speak in different languages so that one man asks another man for a brick. The other man suddenly, who used to speak his language, now looks at him and says, no comprende, amigo. Right? I'm seriously. So then he looks at another guy and he's like, okay, you give me a brick. And the guy's like, a gin con popa. That's French. Means I don't understand. And then so fine, you guy down there, throw me up a brick. And the guy looks at him and says, "Say lewe." That's Swahili, I don't understand. And in that moment, everything changes. Construction screeches to a halt. By the way, we have people in our church that speak all of those languages as their primary language. Construction screeches to a halt. The people get into groups where they can understand one another, and then guess what? They do what God commanded them to do in the first place. And they spread out, and they multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it. I want to give you a little Bible nugget. Anytime I can, just a little on the side, something you might want to write down, just good for life principle, okay? Here's your little Bible nugget of wisdom. There are two ways to fulfill God's will for your life. Write it down. Ready? Two ways. There's only two ways. You're like, what? There's only two ways to fulfill God's will for your life. Write this down. Ready? Willingly or unwillingly? That's it. There's two ways. So you can willingly, you can go, yes, Lord, may your kingdom in heaven come here on earth in my life. I will go where you tell me to go and do what you tell me to do. Yes, Lord, I'm yours. Or you can have it done unwillingly, where you go, no, God, I'm going the other way. And like Jonah, you head in the other direction until God has to swallow you and spit you out where you're supposed to be. That's what happens with these people. It's the same story. God says, I want you to spread out and fill the earth. And they're like, nope, we're going to do it our way. And God's like, ha-ha, think so? Blah, 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 blah. They're like, okay, well, you speak Swahili and you speak. And then they eventually do it God's way. God's will be done. And we can either be a willing participant or an unwilling participant. But he will get what he wants. All right? Just a little Bible nugget for you guys. So their sin leads to confusion and separation. By the way, that's what sin always does. Listen to what Isaiah says. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. But your iniquities, your sins, are separating you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he doesn't listen. Sin separates us from God, and it makes it so that he's not hearing us. Right? And it does not just have that impact between us and God. It has the same impact between us and our fellow men. Look at James 4:1. What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from the passions that wage war within you? Guys, sin causes separation. So much so that the evil desires within us, we start saying things to one another, and my sin is so great that when my brother speaks to me, I'm only thinking about my wants and my needs so that I don't even understand him. Sin leads to separation and confusion. That's what it does. So how's that connect to Jesus? How does the Tower of Babel, Jean Compapa, how does the Tower of Babel connect to Jesus? That's the goal of the study, show how all these major stories point to Christ. Well, here's our gospel connection this week. I want you to understand that this story teaches us that we cannot reach God through our own efforts. We cannot reach God through our own efforts. But he came down to save us and to unite what sin divided. All right? It's a gospel connection that we cannot reach God through our own efforts, but instead, he came down in order to save us and to unite what sin had divided. All right? And so Babel is a story of sinful people trying to build their way up to God. Right? That's the story. This is the same thing we all do at one time or another, isn't it? We try to build ourselves up in the sight of God. Like God, look at me. I'm going to church now on a regular basis. I'm doing better. God, look at me. I'm not cursing nearly as much. Just that one lady gets under my nerve, and sometimes it slips. But God, look at me. I'm driving better now. I'm not waving with just one finger anymore. I'm waving with the whole hand. God, look at me. I'm doing pretty good. We build ourselves up in the sight of God because we, like them, have kind of wrongly believed that that's a way that we can have access to God. Man, I can have access to God. He'll have to accept me. I can be like him if I'm good enough. The problem with that is when you study the Bible, God's standard for accepting us is not good. That's a low bar. He is holy. He's not just holy. He's holy, holy, holy. He's righteous, righteous, righteous. And so the Bible is clear in this. There's nothing we can do to build ourselves up into righteousness. Nothing. Right? So that's our first failure. We can't make ourselves good enough for God. Isaiah 64:6 says, all of us have become like something unclean. All of our righteous acts, all of our attempts to make ourselves good are like a polluted garment. They're like a filthy rag to God. God is so perfect. God is so pure that all of my attempts to make myself good enough to force him to accept me, say I'm gonna become like you. All of my attempts at good things are polluted in the sight of a God that's truly holy and righteous. Okay, so there's no way that I can build myself up to make God accept me. That's the truth of the gospel. So, but there's another truth, and it's why we say it's good news. Because we can't build ourselves up to make God accept us, God came down. We couldn't build ourselves up, and so God came down. And Jesus, God, eternal, who has always existed, chose to be born of a virgin, forever becoming the God-man. And in his flesh as a man, he fulfilled the law that we couldn't perfectly. Somebody had to do it. And so Jesus lived the perfect life that we couldn't. And then he dies the death that we deserve. And so listen, this is all in Scripture. I'm not making it up. Check this out. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, if you read the Gospel of John, it begins in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, everything was made that has been made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Then you skip down to verse 14. It says, and the Word that made all things then became flesh. And so Jesus becomes human. He's fully God and fully man. And then, guess what? He lives the law perfectly. Somebody had to do it. We couldn't do it. So he does it for us. Matthew 5:17, don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I didn't come to abolish them, but rather I came to fulfill them. He did it for us. So because we couldn't build our way up, God came down and he lived the life that we couldn't. But he didn't just live the life that we couldn't. He also died the death that we deserved, right? And he did so by dying on the cross for us, because the wages of sin is death. So Jesus took upon himself the curse of the penalty of sin so that we would no longer be cursed. And that's in Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, curses everyone who's hung on a tree. So guys, the only way that we can be saved, the only way that we can be saved, because we can't do that, right? We can't do any of that stuff on our own. We can't live the law perfectly, right? So the only way that we can be saved is by believing in the one who did. That's what Scripture says. That's what Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is about. I'll put it on the screen again. Just because I want you to understand it. That's why when it says you're saved by grace, that's God's grace to you, by the way. That's the gift we're going to talk about. For you are saved by grace through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. See, because we couldn't do it, because we couldn't make ourselves right, because we couldn't build ourselves up, God came down. And he lived the life that we couldn't. And then he died the death that we deserve. And this, according to the Bible, is a great gift unto us from God. It's called grace. It's not about us earning it. It's about his love for us being poured out in the life of his son, Jesus. And so the only proper response is to put our faith and trust in that Jesus who's done those things for us. And if we do, guess what? The Bible says we will become children of God. And we will have access to God, the access that we long for. It's pretty cool, right? It's pretty cool. That's not the only thing that happened at Babel, though. Babel wasn't just about man's attempt to make themselves acceptable to God or to be in the presence of God. It was also that disobedience of sin led to confusion and separation. And listen, what sin causes, right, Christ fixes. Sin divided and scattered, but Jesus gathers. Right? Maybe write that down. Sin scatters, but Jesus gathers. That's what he does. And so I want you to see Ephesians chapter 2 talks about how Jesus came in and he was preaching the good news, not to just those that were near, not to just the Jews, not to just the nation of God. By the way, nations start here this morning. We'll talk about God making a nation for himself soon, starting next week. But he didn't just come for the nation of Israel, but it says he came preaching peace to those that were far off as well. Right? To those that were scattered. The Bible talks about Jesus the Messiah gathering the nation to himself. And this is what we read in Revelation. It's a beautiful picture. That's why I love our church so much. It says, after this, I looked and there was a vast multitude from every nation and tribe and people and language which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Vast multitude, every nation and tribe and tongue. Man, that's heaven. And so when we have people walk through our doors every week and they're like, hey, my primary language is French. I'm like, let's go. And they're like, no, man, I speak Swahili. Come on, bring it. Right? Like it's so good, y'all. It's so good because that's a picture of what heaven looks like. So what do we do with all that? I'm going to wrap it up and then we're going to let you go. I think there's three things I want to challenge you to do. First, I just want you to realize, man, I'm gonna tell you this because I love you enough, and I don't know, maybe you're one of those people like me, you tried to do it for a while, and maybe you're still in that mode, you're trying to do it on your own. You cannot do this on your own. So I want to start here with just realize that you can't get into heaven on your own. Man, you cannot make yourself good enough for God, you can't. And I meet so many people, they're like, no, Pastor, I want to become a Christian, but first I need to clean up my life. You can't, right? Like, God's level of clean isn't good. It's perfect. You can't do that, right? You can't. I talk to my daughter all the time, go clean your room, go clean your room, go clean your room. And then she'll be like, I cleaned my room. And I walk up, and here's my expectation, and here's what's done, right? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, and I just, there's a realization, she's never going to, not to my standard, right? I'm like, it should look like a hotel when you come in. And she's like, Dad, that's not realistic. She's probably true. But because heaven is God's home, perfection is realistic. He can't look the other way, guys. He's just. You can't make yourself perfect. Even the good that you do can't undo the sin that you've already committed. It just can't. That's not how it works. Those things are with us forever. So I need you to realize this morning, because listen, if you're trying to do it on your own, we call that religion. All that man-made stuff is exhausting. And listen to me, at some point you'll burn out from it, and then you'll just give up. Please don't do that. If you're here this morning and you hear my voice, please don't do that, right? That is not the Bible. Maybe somebody told you that was the Bible. Man, you got to dress a certain way, and you got to say certain things, and you just have to be the good little. That's ridiculous. Jesus came because we can't be the good little, do it all perfect. Like, we can't. That's why he came. Jesus met with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes, and said, man, just believe in me. I'll be enough. I'll be enough. He'll be enough for you. So you got to realize, and that's the second thing, is don't just realize you can't get into heaven. Believe and trust that Jesus, in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. So, in our text, there's one way that they tried to get to heaven. Didn't work. Didn't work. They tried to build their own way. You can't do that. But there is a way, one singular way, that you can be with God forever in heaven, and that is through faith in his Son. The reason that Jesus is the only way, the reason that he could say that, he's the only one that lived the perfect life and fulfilled the law. He's the only one. Lots of people have died. No perfect people have died other than Jesus. Do you understand me? That's why he can make that claim. Lived a perfect life, died the death that we deserve, God accepted it as payment for our sin if we would believe. All right? So believe. I want to challenge you to do that. We'll have a moment that you can do it. Here's the third thing. And maybe, man, listen, we've got so many of these people doing this today. And so maybe this is just me, but I was thinking about it. I was like, man, this would be really cool. Join the local family of God through church membership. When we read in the book of Revelation what heaven looks like, that's the church, right? That the church is finally gathered. The church from everywhere is gathered, and they're worshiping God together. And I love the fact that our congregation is so diverse. And I just pray, man, in that, would you be a part of that? Would you come and join this diverse movement that God is doing in Elgin, Texas, where we're like, I don't even know what he's doing, but I sure want to be a part of it. We would love to have you be a part of it. And if that's you at the end of the service, Kevin will be here, right? I'm going to be down here. You know, he said at the beginning, hey, I'm the Next Steps guy. If you want to talk about Next Steps, then come see me. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to provide an opportunity for you to respond to the message. Don't freak out. The lights are going to be turned down for a moment. We're just going to have a word of prayer. Some people are like, why do y'all do this every week? I want to tell you a cool story. Wednesday night, we had a youth that was ready to give her life to the Lord. And one of our youth workers said, you know, talks to her about Jesus and literally says to her, hey, every week we pray this prayer together. I can lead you in that prayer of salvation. If you want to, I know how to do that. You see the power in that? So this is a really cool moment. Guys, if you're here and in your heart you long for a relationship with God, you're tired of the loneliness, you're tired of the separation, you're tired of that feeling like man, I'm trying to do it on my own, or just that feeling of separation hurts. If that's you and today you would like to be united with God, the only way to do that is through faith in Christ. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, where you are, just bow your heads for a moment. We're going to pray collectively as a church. And so we're going to bow our heads real quick. We're going to close our eyes. But if you're here this morning and you would like to know that heaven is going to be your home, this morning you've heard the only way that can happen is if you'll put your faith and trust in Christ. If you've never done that, but today you would like to do that, you want to become a child of God today, you want to know that heaven is your home. Where you are, would you just raise your hand and say, man, I want that, Pastor. This isn't about religion. This is just about personally saying, hey, this is what I want. Would you just raise your hand for me? I'm trying to, it's a little dark out there. You'll have to hold it up. Anybody just saying, yeah, no, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm just looking around for a moment. Keep it up so I could see that. Just say, man, I want to make sure that heaven is my home. Okay, awesome. So here's what we're going to do. You guys that raise your hand, would you just make eye contact with me real quick? I just want to look at you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? I thought I saw one other. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to pray. You can bow your head. We're going to pray. We do this through prayer. The church is going to pray for you for two reasons. One, they are legitimately, this is called intercession. They're praying on your behalf. Two, they're being trained up to go and share the gospel with others and being prepared to lead others to become children of God as well. So we're going to pray together. Just from your heart, if you're one of those people, raise your hand, or you wanted to but you didn't quite, we're going to pray together. Let's pray out loud together. Dear God, I come to you right now. I just ask that you would come into my life. Jesus, forgive me. I am a sinner. I've done all kinds of things I shouldn't. I'm sorry. I've been trying to make myself good enough for God. But I know in my heart it's not working. And so today I'm coming to you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you lived the perfect life I couldn't. I believe you died on the cross for me. So take control of me now. Make me yours. Make me a child of God. And teach me how to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.